and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Amen. All the praise and all the glory rightfully belong unto Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because he is great, and he has done great things, great and marvelous things. All right, our lesson this morning is going to come from Joshua chapter 5. If you will turn with me to Joshua chapter 5. As you all know, we have been studying basically the life and times of Joshua. And Joshua has led the people, God has led the people through Joshua into the promised land by crossing the Jordan River. We remember that God did so in a way to show that he was in control completely of this crossing from the wilderness into the promised land that he had promised even Abraham, the same land, the same promise, the same covenant. We remember that God, through Joshua, instructed the Levites, instructed the priests, to go first into the River Jordan. And they stood there in the middle of the River Jordan. The water did not separate from them until their feet touched the water. We saw where that was a great example of their faith. God had said, you're going to be able to cross this river. Just obey me. Just do what I say. And you're going to cross this river, which represented death, like it's nothing. And so we saw that Jesus Christ went ahead. Where is Jesus Christ? Well, he was in the Ark of the Covenant, wasn't he? The covenant, the Ten Commandments were inside that Ark of the Covenant that the priests were carrying. God had, through Joshua, instructed the people to stay back. And if you look into the measurements he gave, it was almost a mile until the waters separated. And they crossed on dry land around the Ark of the Covenant. All right. And now we see them coming to a place that was approximately two miles from Jericho, which is the first city that they'd come to that God had promised them a victory over. And we all know the story, how Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. Well, Joshua led the people across the river of Jordan too. But was it Joshua or was it God? And we're going to see that it was God. It was God that delivered the people. Amen. It was God that all through the wilderness provided exactly what they needed. The manna from heaven. The water from the rock. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire by night. Everything that people needed, God provided. And he provides everything that we need every day. He promised to never leave them, and he didn't. All through the wilderness, remember, even their clothes didn't get old. And these people who crossed the Jordan, with the exception of two, had lived their entire life in the wilderness, you remember. They had seen all these daily miracles. All right. So now we have them coming to Gilgal, and we're going to have instructions from God to Joshua for the people. Before we read, let's go to the Lord. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the presence of each of these loved ones. Father, we pray that you would empty the things of our daily lives and the things of the world from our minds now and from the desires of our hearts, that we would desire you. That we've come here seeking your word, your instruction, your comfort. Father, we pray now that you would open your word up to us and that you would show us your marvelous glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Joshua chapter 5. And it came to pass, verse 1, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them any more, because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives, and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way. So they hadn't done this thing that God had instructed Moses to do as a symbol of the cutting away of the flesh, the cutting away of the fleshly desires, the putting down of the flesh. They hadn't done it. Now all the people, verse 5, that came out were circumcised. But all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, they had not been circumcised. And again, that was everybody except Joshua and Caleb. Remember that. Verse 6 says, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. He did not allow them to see the promised land, except for Moses. Moses saw it when he went up on top of Mount Nebo and looked across the river, you remember. He did not allow them to see it because of disobedience. Unto whom, verse 6, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way or in the wilderness. And it came to pass, verse 8, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole, until they were well, until they got over this surgery. And the Lord said unto Joshua, verse 9, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt off of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Now this name Gilgal has reference to a wheel, or the act of rolling, sometimes used to refer to a heap. So they were at Gilgal, and it's the reason it was named this, because of what God said and what God did. This day, he said, verse 9, to Joshua, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. What was the reproach of Egypt? Well, they were slaves, weren't they? They were for hundreds of years. When Moses, following God's commandment, circumcised all of the men, it was a symbol. It was a sign showing the putting down again of the flesh, of the natural ways, and the taking up or the following of the spiritual ways. So this reproach that he rolled off of them, it wasn't done by the physical act of this surgery, no. It was done by the power of God. He rolled off the reproach of their bondage. And I want you to see this morning that that's what he's done for you if he saved you this morning. Well, what is your reproach? The bondage of sin. You were born into it. You always lived in it. You didn't have a choice, because all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have. But praise God, He has rolled off the reproach of this sinful life that we were born into. He's rolled it off, you see. By His power, He's done it. Are there things that we do to follow Him and obey Him? Yes, there are. Like they did. Joshua followed and did exactly what God told him to do. That's what we are to do, isn't it? We're going to see in a moment how they are blessed by being led by God, even into battle. And really, they're not the ones that fought the battle. But God is. God fights the battle. God is the one who rolls away the reproach, even as He did from these children that were all born in the wilderness, again, except for two. He rolled the reproach of their bondage. Years and years of bondage. He rolled it off of them. Verse 10, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. I've got it written up here on the map. For those of you that are here, Gilgal, as I said, was basically a couple miles from the city of Jericho, almost halfway between the river and Jericho. This is where God had them camp. They kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat, verse 11, of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover. The day after the Passover, they ate unleavened cakes and parched corn in the self same day. Now, for 40 years, they hadn't eaten any corn. For 40 years, they had eaten manna. Quail in the evening that God provided. Water from a rock that followed them everywhere they went. Now they have actually entered into the land that God described as the land of milk and honey. Now I don't know what manna tasted like, but apparently milk and honey was a step up to their taste buds. They were in the land of promise now, and there was food growing there. Not like out in the desert where there wasn't even water. God followed them in a rock that provided water for them because there wasn't even life-sustaining water in the desert. Now here they are where there's food. But notice the first thing they did with that food. The first thing they did was they committed to God and they had the Passover. They kept the Passover. So that first food that they acquired from this new land of milk and honey, they dedicated to God. They put Him first, didn't they? Aren't we instructed to do that? We are, to give of the first fruits. And that cheerfully, because it's right. It's all God's anyway, isn't it? We're all God's. We all belong to Him. And they did eat of the old corn of the land, verse 11 again, on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. See, God had brought them into the promised land. They didn't eat manna anymore, verse 12, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Oh, they were blessed, weren't they? And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, verse 13, that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Are you for us or against us? What was Joshua doing out there? Well, he was taking a look at the battleground, wasn't he? He was being obedient unto God. He knew that God was about to give them Jericho. He was out there looking at this great wall. And on his way, in obedience to God, on his way there, someone was between him and the battle. I want us to notice that someone this morning. When he lifted up his eyes in verse 13 and looked, behold, there stood a man over against him. This man had his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Notice Joshua didn't run over there with his sword and commence to fight the man, no. Nor did he run away, but he went toward the man to find out who he was. What do you stand for? What are you doing here? And he found out who he was. Verse 14, and he said, the man said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Who do you think this guy was? He claimed to be the captain of the host of the Lord. The captain of the host of the Lord. As this person, as a man in this office, am I come. The captain of the host of the Lord. That sounds like the man in charge, doesn't it? And it was. It was. Now notice. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Now, was this an angel? You remember in Revelation whenever John fell down to worship at an angel, what the angel said? He said, get up, didn't he? Don't worship me. I'm of your brethren. I'm not God. But notice, this angel of the Lord, this person, did not stop Joshua from falling down and worshiping him. Why not? Because it was God, that's why. It was God in the flesh. It was Jesus Christ in the flesh with his sword drawn. The same God that had promised Joshua that no matter where he went, he would be with him. He would never have to go into a battle without him. That was God. That was Jesus, an epiphany. It was Jesus in the flesh. Who else would Joshua fall down and worship? No one. This was God in the flesh. This one was an appearance of the Son of God. And Joshua said in the last of verse 14, what saith my Lord unto his servant? You remember Joshua knew God, didn't he? Joshua spoke with God. God promised Joshua that just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And he gave him signs to show him that very fact. He knew who God was, and he knew this was him. He knew this was God. And notice that the captain of the Lord's host was standing between Joshua and Jericho, where the battle was to take place. We already know who fought the battle of Jericho, don't we? Yes, it was the Lord. It was the Lord. And see, he was there before Joshua and the men, great men of valor that he had with him marched around that city 6 days in a row. The seventh day they marched around it seven times. The walls, at the exact second that God had designated, fell. And they conquered the city of Jericho. You see, it was God that did it. And he showed himself so that Joshua would know. Well, those guys can really blow those horns loud. Those walls just fell right down when they blew those horns. No, he knew it was God. He had seen God with his sword in his hand between him and Jericho. It was God. As the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? Notice those words. God said, it is as the captain of the host of the Lord am I. Who did he just claim himself to be? I am. That's who. The captain of the host of the Lord am I. And as the captain of the Lord am I now come, he said. That's why I'm here. I'm here to fight your battles for you. I'm the one with the power. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto him. I'll recognize that this morning. No matter what you're facing, no matter what battle is ahead of you, and you're concerned, you're worried about the outcomes, the things that are going to happen because of whatever decision you make, realize that the captain of the Lord's host is between you and that problem. And you know what he's got in his hand? His sword. His sword. Who can thwart him? Who can overcome the power of God? No one. Paul tells us that there's nothing in existence, nor has there ever been or ever will be, that can separate you from the love of God. He has already defeated our enemies on the cross of Calvary, hasn't he? He has. We already know that we're successful in Christ. How long? Forever and ever, Brother Chuck, as you were saying earlier. We can't comprehend that, but we need to dwell on it. We need to realize that this life we have, it's not just for now. It's forever. And Jesus Christ has won that battle for us. And he now stands in our place. You know that he is at the right hand of the throne of God right now. The Bible tells us that he's making intercession for us. You see, he's standing between us and any accuser. He's standing between us and any enemy. He stands between us and any obstacle that would come between us and the eternal life that Jesus Christ has purchased for us freely. And he stands there with his sword drawn. The sword represents the Word of God, doesn't it? Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil in the desert. You remember that, the 40 days. Every time that the accuser, that the devil would come up with a temptation or an accusation, God had his sword drawn. Every time. What did he say? He said, it is written, didn't he? It is written in the Word of God, and no one can overcome the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, you see. It's powerful. He had his sword drawn, and he still does today. Now, verse 15, in case there's any doubt about what we've presented here as the identity of this person with his sword in his hand that met with Joshua on the way to Jericho, verse 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot. For the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. How can that place where Joshua stood between Gilgal and Jericho be holy? Well, how was the ground in the Garden of Eden holy? Adam and Eve walked with the Lord in the cool of the evening in the garden, didn't he? They walked on holy ground. Why? Because God was there. Because God was there. That's what made that ground holy, the presence of God. The burning bush in Moses. Basically the same instructions, wasn't it? Take your shoes off your feet because you're standing on holy ground. Holy ground. God was there. That's why the ground was holy. And it was God who spoke to him. It is God who told him to take his shoes off because he was standing in the presence of Almighty God, the Son of God. An appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, another one. We find him as the angel of the Lord all through the Old Testament, don't we? Yes. Jesus Christ is the Son in the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's eternal. He's always been. He created all things. All things. Think about that for a second. There are a lot of things in this world, aren't there? Yeah, nothing that was created without him. He was there, you see. He's here today. And he stands today between you and the battle that he has sent you to fight. This life is a battle, isn't it? If you have spiritual desires and spiritual life in your heart and in your mind today, you know that you're in a battle. Because just like every morning when Goliath stood out in front of the men of Israel, the soldiers, fighting men now, and dared them to come fight with him, in the same way, every morning, we're reminded, aren't we, that we're sinful flesh. We are. But we can cry out even as David did, who is this Philistine? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this unsaved person that accuses me? The Lord of hosts will give us the battle this day. All through the Old Testament, we see Jesus Christ fighting our battles, and that successfully. Oh, our instructions are to trust him and believe him enough to follow him. And when we do, let me tell you, you will be blessed with victories that I think we'll spend eternity learning about. We just don't have the mind to comprehend all the great care that he's taken of us every day. What a God. Oh, won't you rely on him, realize, as Jonah did, that salvation is of the Lord. If I trust in him and believe him, believe that he died on that cross for me personally. Believe that his word is true. It's because, as Jesus Christ said, no one cometh to me except my Father which sent me, another third of the Godhead, draw him. So we realize that confidence we have in him fighting our battles, in him protecting us in his mighty hand, even that faith and that confidence and that trust came from him. This same Jesus Christ, this captain of the Lord's host, he holds us in his hand, you see. Powerful God. Even that faith came from him. He's the author of it. He's the finisher of it. Praise God.